This morning, I want to talk about crossroads. I want to talk about, for you as a Christian, there's going to be moments where you're going to be faced with one direction that looks comfortable, one direction that looks right, that looks the way the world might direct you, and the other direction looks different, unconventional, radical even, maybe dangerous. And those crossroads, those moments, those times, those are when, those are gifts from God. Those are moments where if we make the right choice and we go that direction where this doesn't make any sense, that our faith will be strengthened, our joy will be made greater, our trust in Him and Christ will be larger, and our Christian life will be more vivid and have more flavor and more feel and more touch, and it'll just be more alive because we trusted God in those moments. For example, Jamie and I moving to Memphis. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. My connection to Memphis is, is a string. Doesn't make a lot of sense. It's pretty loose. But God is, I believe God is leading us in that direction. Another example, me standing here before you preaching, not really not preaching, I have no perfect education, no seminary degree. In fact, I didn't even finish college. But God has directed my life to this point, to this place. Doesn't make a lot of sense. And you're going to have these moments. You're going to have these times. And I believe that Christ Family Church, and I believe that you guys, and a personal level, are at those moments and will be in those moments really soon, especially you young people. It may seem to you right now that your life is just filled with tons of these crossroads. You haven't figured anything out. Well, let's talk about that this morning. Now, there are several examples in Scripture of these. Several men that God used that put them in these situations. For example, Noah. Noah was called to build an ark in a desert with no rain. And not just no rain because it was a desert. Rain didn't exist. Water didn't fall from the sky like we have today. But Noah was commanded to build a large ark, a crazy huge boat. We're going to put animals in there. We're going to close it up. It's going to rain. It's going to flood the earth. None of that makes any sense. But God directed Noah to do just that. David, shepherd boy to king. Doesn't make a lot of sense in our eyes. And it's a great story. We celebrate that story. The underdog. But in reality, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Paul, hater and murderer of Christians. Persecutor. Now an apostle, a church planter, an author of more than half of the New Testament. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But as Scripture tells us, God's ways are not our ways. We just may not understand at the moment, in those times, what He is doing, what He is working. So this morning I want to look at one of those examples that kind of launch off of it. And it's just a coincidence. I had no idea that I'll lead you away with all the special guests would be talking about Abraham. No idea that Sunday school this morning for kids was talking about Abraham. So maybe God is doing something this morning.
Amen.
Let's pray to that. It's my father-in-law. Let's pray to that. Father, I ask you to work. Speak. Minister to us. I need you. I need you, and I need you to use me this morning. Say what you want me to say. You lay on my heart. And all for your name. there's any air that comes from my mouth but a drop from our ears. And we all together will celebrate what Christ has done. In your love, eyes. In his name, I plead and I pray. Amen. So turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, we're going to read verses 8 through 12, and we're just going to kind of camp out on just a couple of those verses. Hebrews chapter 11, some would call the Faith Hall of Fame. We want to celebrate these men, we lift them up, and we've got to be careful when we do that, because they are just men. So let's talk about Abraham. Verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. But he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful with promise. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. I want you to flip back to the beginning of the chapter really quick and kind of see, I want you to think on this verse as we talk this morning. Hebrews 11, 1 says that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, provided the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made of things that are visible. Now, here's what I want you to get, okay? Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, things to come. We're looking to the future, things that we've been told will happen but aren't happened yet. Things we just can't see, but we've been told about them, and the conviction of things not seen, meaning we believe it and we act upon it. Okay, that's faith. Abraham, when we're thinking of Abraham, believed God. Romans 5 says that Abraham was fully convinced that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. He was full assurance that God was going to act. So as we read about Abraham, as we talk about in our lives, crossroads, we can have this faith. We can be fully convinced that if God is directing us, he's going to be faithful. That he's going to walk with us. So as we walk through this with Abraham and we look at these verses, keep that in mind in the back of your head this morning. Now the crossroads for Abraham, Genesis 12 tells us the story, Hebrews 11 touches on it, was that God told him to go, and Abraham had a choice. I'm going to go this direction, I'm going to follow what God said, or I'm going to stay where I'm comfortable. I'm going to stay where God has originally put me, and now he's called me somewhere else, and I'm just going to stay here, where I like it. Now think about, in Genesis 12, God tells Abraham, go from your country, and your kindred, and your father's house. And when we read that, we may think it's no big deal. But listen, Abraham was told to leave his country, to leave what he knew, to leave his family, and to leave his inheritance. Three huge things that he was told to leave. And what did he do? He got up and he left. Now, the pull to stay would have been strong. But Abraham obeyed God. Abraham obeyed what God had told him to do, and he went. So as we kind of walk through these verses, keep those two things in mind. Observation number one from our text. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. God called Abraham, and we need to be careful to, when we walk through situations, when we are at crossroads, know that God is speaking to us. We need to know for sure that He's speaking. For Abraham, it wasn't this feeling, it wasn't this emotional experience, it wasn't his gut. God spoke and He went. Now, most of us in here are not going to hear an audible voice of God speaking from a cloud. That's probably not going to happen. So how do we know that God is speaking to us? Well, God speaks to us through His Word. He's speaking to us now as you read the Bible on your phone or on your lap. God is speaking this morning, and we need to make sure that we're listening, making sure that we are aware that He is speaking. So, if God is speaking this morning, and He's speaking through Scripture, and He's speaking through the Bible in your lap, when we're faced with a crossroad, when we're faced with, like Abraham, go this direction or this direction, faced with a moment where we may be called to do something crazy that doesn't make a lot of sense, how do we decide? How do we figure that out? Well, we ask the question, does it line up with Scripture? Does this line up with what God has revealed to us in His Word? Do people around us affirm that call? Do they say, yes, I think that's a great idea? For example, guys, you want to get married. You are at that crossroads. Not that getting married is down the dangerous crazy road. I'm not saying that. You want to get married. And you know you've got to ask the question. You just don't get together and you're married. You have to ask her to marry you and plan a wedding and all that. So you have this time, and you search through Scriptures, and the Bible talks about marriage. It says how great it is. So I think I'm going to get married. Well, you can't just go on that sometime. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to go to Nathan or go to somebody else and say, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you, are we healthy? Do you think it's going to be a good idea? What do you, go to the parents. You think I'm in a place where I can support her? Because just getting married for sex is a good reason to get married. Gotta support her. Gotta provide for her. Talk to somebody. Get counsel about that. Somebody can affirm that in you. Somebody can help you down that road. But here's the thing. God speaks. And God spoke to Abraham, and really, it's really that simple. God speaks. We do. We go. So observation number two is that Abraham went. He went out. Second part of verse 8 says, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. God spoke, and Abraham obeyed. Now, simple, and as I said a few minutes ago, we have to be careful not to elevate these men of the Bible, because they are just men. But Abraham obeyed God. You know the rest, you know some of the story where they had to go down to Egypt, and Abraham decided to take things in his own hands and say, you know, you're really, to Sarah, his wife, you're really attractive, and I know that people are going to see you, and they might want you, so why don't you say you're my sister, that way I don't get killed, and they didn't have you, but you'll come back and you'll still be my husband, or my wife. That was a great idea. At all, but that was Abraham trying to figure it out. So, I say all that to say, don't elevate this God. He's a pillar of Christianity. He's a father of our faith. However, he's still a man. He's not perfect. He's not Christ. So, and so to say, well, you know, Abraham's so great. Yeah, God spoke to him and he obeyed. Of course he did, because he's Abraham. Well, that doesn't work. As I just told you, he makes some really bad choices in his life. Just like you and I do. So Abraham, observation number two, Abraham obeyed. He went out. Noah was told to build an ark, and he did it, right? That's how Scripture kind of works. Is God speaks, and people, men and women, obey. Jesus says to love me, and you love my commandments. Love me, and you love your neighbor. that same idea. I speak, you do. Paul, in several of his books, communicates, this is who you are, this is what you do. This is what God has done. God speaks, this is what you do. 1 + 1 = 2. It's fairly simple stuff. Now, I understand the outworking of this, outworking of getting married might be a little more complicated. The outworking of going somewhere dangerous might be a little more complicated. Being obedient is stripped down, simple fact. True. But it's really easy, though, for us to overcomplicate or even crazier, over-spiritualize these situations. And here's what I mean. Here's an example, and we'll kind of go from there. Talking about marriage again. Young ladies, you guys want to get married, I'm sure. You're going to have to find a man first and date or court or however your conviction lies there. Now, I've heard a lot, not in my personal life, but around me, that a lot of some of the things you say is, and guys, you're just as bad, but, you know, God hasn't called me or hasn't directed me to date you, or the Spirit told me not to. I saw this from Clay last night. We had dinner and he mentioned this. The Spirit told me not to date you. We say, I haven't seen a sign from God yet. Well, most likely you're not going to. That's probably not going to happen. But, you know, if you have the desire to get married, it's pretty simple. Find a guy who loves Jesus, who you're attracted to, and then let's see where it goes. Not that complicated. It isn't. Okay? Now, on a serious note, another example. Here at Christ Family Church, very applicable. The leadership here at Christ Family Church. Now, I'm leaving. Nathan is the only pastor elder here. Nathan is not your CEO. He's not your president. There's going to be a point and a place where you're going to have to help, where you're going to have to step up, and you're going to have to be there for him. He needs men around him to accomplish the work that has been here put on Christ's Family Church. And I know what you're thinking. Well, you're leaving. It's your fault. Yeah, but God's leading me, so argue that. overcomplicated saying, you know, I haven't had a sign from God, I'm supposed to help. It's simple. If you're qualified to lead as an elder, talk to Nathan. Figure it out. Work it out. He needs to be around them. If you have gifts, use them here at Christ Family Church. We have a real problem not to be at Christ Family. We as Americans, we are consumers. We buy, we go to movies, we see how, you know, we have a 15% for a decent service and 20% for a good service at a table. We just have this mentality, like, what am I going to get out of wherever I'm at? And we've taken that, we've brought that into the church. We come on Sunday morning and we sit down and say, what am I going to receive? What am I going to get? Well, that's not church. That's a movie. That's a concert. Church is about sharing one another's burden, sharing life together, being with one another, encouraging one another, serving together. And I'm afraid that a lot of us, me included, have become consumers in a lot of our church life. And that doesn't need to be the case. Serve. Men, serve. Even if you can for only 6 weeks, serve. If you don't, and this, I don't mean to scare you, and I don't mean to, if you don't, Nathan's not going to be here in 5 years. It's just the reality. One man can't carry the burdens of a congregation this size, and this much ministry you need to go on. That's the reality of it. So men, get in his left pocket and his right pocket. Walk with him. Encourage him. Don't overcomplicate things. Be there for him, with him. Observation number three. Get off my soapbox. Observation number three from our text, verse 9, says, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Now, this is a real quick little snippet here of this observation, but they lived in tents. Now, you say, well, they all lived in tents back then, but the point here in this language is that they lived in a temporary housing. Not that they had this big, huge, gigantic tent that they put up when they stayed. They lived in temporary homes because they were ready and willing at any moment for God to direct them somewhere else. So are you looking for these moments in your life, these crossroads, these times where God may direct you to someplace different, to someplace dangerous or uncomfortable? Are you looking for these intersections between status quo, this continuing down motion of life, and something beyond that? Observation number 4, verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham was able to act, to live in tents, because he was looking forward to the city that was to come. He was able to live in temporary housing because he was looking forward to what was going to happen to the city to come that was going to be built by God, designed by him, where everything will be perfected. No pain, no suffering. The earth will be perfected again and be back to the way that it was created to be. Abraham endured and looked forward to that. Are you looking forward? And if you look forward, if you look to what God has promised, if we look to the moments where we're going to be perfected, there's not going to be sin and pain anymore, if you look to that, then a simple decision of going someplace or doing something might be a little easier. Will be a little easier. And there it says, see that has foundations. Foundations are very important. Everybody in here kind of probably goes, duh, in the back of the mind. Yeah, of course, foundations are really important. If they're not foundations, then things will crumble. A tent is blown away by the wind because it's a tent, not a house or a building built on a foundation. A foundation holds things together, holds it in the ground, keeps it sturdy and stable. A city founded and built on Jesus, the chief cornerstone, that lasts forever. Now, cities without foundations can disappear. There's tons of old ruins of cities that they can't find because their foundations were not strong. They didn't have foundations or whatever. No root and no structure to support it, it disappears. This world, our world, where we live in today, now, has no foundation. It has nothing that will stay, that will sustain. But everything we gain, everything we have will fade away. All our achievements, so everything we live for, fame, fortune, power, popularity, comfort, all will fade away. It will not exist. The world offers nothing of eternal value, no foundation, and yet, in these moments, in these crossroads, we get counsel from the world to decide how we're going, which direction we're going to go. It would make a lot of sense. If we look forward at these moments, if we look to the city to come, if we look to what God has promised, if we were fully convinced that God was going to do what he says he was going to do, if our faith was sure of things not seen, then our act of obedience would be easier, knowing a hard direction, the direction that just doesn't make any sense, might be, will be, easier. things just don't make sense. Sometimes we're faced with decisions that just don't make sense. And we make those decisions. We'll say we're obedient. We go down that road. And in those times, we just can't see why. We can't get what's going on. But eventually, God reveals, this is what I had in mind. He reveals, this is what's happening. And this is why I called you here. I pray all of us are there that moment of times. Look down at Hebrews chapter 12. One chapter over. It would be a sermon if I didn't talk about Jesus. Be a rant. A lecture, maybe. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these men and women that have been mentioned here in chapter 11, the ones that he couldn't even mention, the ones that don't even have names, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, looking forward to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now there's a blunt force of sermon right there in those two verses, and I can't even scratch the surface. So I'm going to take out one phrase, and I'm going to kind of talk about it for a minute. The phrase towards the end of verse 2, it says, despising the shame. A little strange phrase. Looking at Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what does this mean, despising the shame? Now, if somebody was to be killed on a cross, there would be shame on him. He'd be shamed for doing such a thing, for having that done to him. He would have earned it. He would have been guilty, and there was a shame brought on him and his family and people around him. Jesus despised that shame. He turned from that shame. He didn't let it affect him. He went ahead through the crucifixion. He went ahead and finished the job. We don't turn the direction of different because of shame. We don't turn that direction because we're afraid of what somebody or people will say. We don't go that way because it doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, and somebody else is thinking that it doesn't make sense, and if they're thinking it doesn't make sense, then looking at me funny, then I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to talk to them and tell them why I'm going down that road. Jesus endured horrific death, despising the shame, shame of a cross, dying on a cross. And because he did, we can go that direction, we can turn that way, and it's okay. Because he endured shame like we've never endured. He's endured a death like we have never and will never endure. Now the ultimate crossroads that doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't compute. It's Jesus. Jesus, God, 100% God, 100% man, comes down from heaven, leaves glory to live on earth with a bunch of sinners, to live here for 33 years. That in itself doesn't make a lot of sense. In fact, if you just try to figure that out, it doesn't compute. Jesus, who is perfect and holy, lived perfect and holy life here on earth. Jesus died a gruesome, horrible death for others, not even for him. The wrath of God was on him. His wrath and the cup was on him. The ultimate, that just doesn't make any sense. Sinclair Ferguson says, look at the two trees that Adam and Jesus faced. Adam, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, plus a lot of greats, our first dad, faced a tree that represented everything desirable. He thought that he needed to have that. It was going to complete him. It was going to fulfill everything in him. He was going to be like God. And he believed it. And he faced it, and what did he do? And in doing so, he enslaved all mankind to sin. That tree was his due north. He couldn't think of anything else but that tree. His comfort was going to be found in that. His power was going to be found in that. His fame was going to be found in that. His fortune was going to be found in that. His name was going to be found in that tree. And instead of finding fame, he enslaved himself and all mankind. Now Jesus, the second Adam, the perfect Adam, the right Adam, faced the tree that represented everything undesirable, everything wretched, everything evil and dark and vile. No one would want that. No one could bear what that tree represented. And Jesus obediently, as Hebrews 12 says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That tree he endured. And what did he do enduring that? He freed the captives. He freed you and he freed me from sin. The sin that Adam made us captive to. What Adam jacked up, Jesus fixed. What Adam messed up, Jesus fixed forever. And because you have been set free, because Jesus died, you can live in the uncomfortable. You can live in the unknown. You can live in a situation that just doesn't seem to make sense. Because it is God calling you, you cannot. You cannot disobey. Because of Jesus, we can go that direction and it's okay. Because of Jesus, he can help us take those steps. Now this morning, I believe that you're at one of those crossroads this morning. And here in a few minutes, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper here at the table that we have been invited to sit at. We've been invited by Jesus. If you're a Christian, you've been invited to eat of his body and drink of his blood. Simple. He's invited you to join him at this table. But the crossroads this morning is doing it. Eating crackers and grape juice doesn't make a lot of sense. We're celebrating what Jesus has done. Another crossroads this morning is maybe you're not even a Christian. Maybe you don't know Jesus yet. Maybe he's calling you this morning for the first time. Maybe you realize this morning for the first time that your sin is great and his grace is greater. Maybe for the first time you realize I can't do it on my own. Maybe for the first time you realize that tree that I've been going after, that girl or that man or that job or that money or whatever it is it going to fulfill? Jesus will fulfill. Maybe for the first time, your eyes have been opened to the great salvation, the great grace of God. And so you're at a crossroads. Do I follow? Do I follow a Savior that I can't see? Do I follow somebody that just the Bible talks about? Or do I continue down the road that is comfortable to me, that makes sense to me? be the crossroads you're at. And let me plead with you. Make the right decision. Follow Jesus this morning. Church family, celebrate what Jesus has done, but do it with joy, not out of religious duty, or you think you're going to gain something out of it. Jesus has invited you to this table, to this moment, for free to you, but it costs a great deal to him. That's right.